Coming in hot, 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 Lisa shares her financial tips and strategies to build wealth, have fun with finances, and be debt-free without having a restrictive budget. From bankrupt to millionaire, Lisa knows what it's like to feel as if you're living paycheck to paycheck. Her unconventional money multiplier system is the very wealth protocol that enabled her to retire 2.5 years early, pay down $100,000 of debt in 6 months, and move to her dream home at the beach. Hey, hey, welcome back to this episode of I Date Money. I'm your hostess, Lisa Drennan, your wealth activator, and today we are on fire. I got a birdie. Okay, I'm just going to share it because I got a birdie. Like, it was the coolest shot ever. So I get a birdie pin now and everything. But today, we are doing something for the very first time. We have two special guests with us. Isn't this really cool? We're talking about money with relationships, and we have Matt and Karina who are joining us, who align their business and relationship into a thriving team because they're sick and tired of feeling alone and unsupported, with conflict wearing down their bond and bottom line. So they help them connect again like newlyweds while boosting their teamwork, productivity, and profits. So as relationship coaches, this is their services, right? The bottom line, Matt and Karina double their romantic and business success guaranteed. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here. Curious to know, you know, I would never work with my husband in a business. How do you make this work?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having us. We are absolutely thrilled to be here and to be talking with people who want to do money better, right? Who want to date money, who want to enjoy money, who want to have money be very welcome in their lives. So I don't know, Matt, how do we do this? It started right from the beginning of how we were together. Money's like everything, right? It's
yeah,
treat each other.
And we were both coaches when we met. So we both had our separate businesses, and I think there was a big overlap in the type of coaching that we did, and we decided, I think, just we kind of gravitated towards helping other couples, helping other individuals in their relationships, because that's what we talk about all the time, is relationship dynamics, our relationship, other people's relationships, clients' relationships. And we practice what we share with the couples and individuals that we work with. Like, that we do it thoughtfully is the quick answer. Like, we're very present in the relationship. We deal with the bumps as they arrive. Like, as soon as we are aware that there's a bump, we raise it, we discuss it, we work through it until it's finally dealt with. And that was a kind of a pact that we made, right, Karina, is that we would do that. And we do that over and over. And it's been really, really successful for us.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that I love about this pact, this agreement, is you get to be more comfortable when you're uncomfortable. So I had tons of money stuff from my past relationship. Matt, is it fair to say?
Me too. Yeah. Mountain. Yeah.
And so as we were getting to know each other, as we were dating, Matt actually pretty early on invited me on something that was quite big. And we were going to share expenses. It was a trip. We were going to share some expenses, but there was also some expenses. It was like we were going to expand a work trip. But it meant with whatever we were doing, whatever came up, because we'd agreed and we wanted to, we had to work through the money part of it. There were spreadsheets, there was conversations, there was like
tears maybe or something.
There were some tears. because when we let go of some of these stories, it's emotional. Money, I'll just talk energy for a second. Money is in our first chakra. Money is in our root. Money is in our safety and our survival.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if your relationship is denying money in the sense of avoiding talking about it, pretending there isn't a problem, not making a plan when things come up, then you're not letting the energy flow from your root into the rest of your system and your body. So we were going to his conference was in Vegas. And he said, do you want to come stay in the hotel with me? And then we could go a few days early and enjoy that weekend together. It was like Monday through Wednesday or something. And he's like, I can cover like all the stuff in Vegas, and then you would cover your flights, but I'll split the expenses with you. And I said, that's amazing. Can I figure out where we're going to stay for the weekend? And I just, this was so exciting to just go in and have a sense of budget, but also have a sense of play. And I ended up finding for us a teepee in the desert. We went maximum glamping, and it was absolutely incredible.
It was amazing.
And then we went into Vegas. So we had this like full experience, and then we had to settle up. And then we had to settle up. We had to settle up the Airbnb. We had to settle up the food. We had to settle up my airfare, right? His was covered. Yeah. The agreement was is that we'd split the expenses that weren't covered in half. And Matt forgot a bunch of things that he was supposed to pay for.
Yeah. Yeah. What we had agreed, I'd sort of lost sight of some of the things that I'd agreed to.
Yeah. And it was
conveniently, right?
Yeah. No, not in the long run.
Very you're trying to pull a fast one there.
I was pretty sure he wasn't. If he was, that would have been the end of that, yeah. I have to say. Yeah. And it was very vulnerable to ask for that money from this man that I'm falling in love with, that I want to have a relationship with. I didn't know what his reactions would be. In the same way that money is part of our survival, that also means that he could have, you know, he could like a animal in a corner, he could really kick up wanting to protect that money, that even though he'd forgotten he was going to pay, in the end, maybe he didn't want to pay and it felt too scary for him to pay, you just don't know someone until you start those conversations.
Yeah.
So one of the things. Yeah.
Go ahead. Finish up.
Yeah. So just, okay. So long story, summing up, the takeaway is that having those difficult conversations actually lets you build some of your systems, right? So the masculine systems and the feminine is being able to flow with it. And if we don't know how we're going to flow, if there isn't a riverbank to that river, it gets really confusing and things get flooded really fast there.
That's yeah. I love that. I love that visual. That's beautiful.
And I think what came up in that situation with the money around the Vegas trip was some of these deep rooted beliefs that I know I had about money, and kind of less deep rooted, but like issues, challenges that had occurred in my previous relationship, where there'd been kind of big money stresses. And one of the things I believe about relationship, and I think, you know, Karina does too, is that the relationship and the challenges and the joys of relationship, if we care to be present to them, help us heal, help us grow. And that same opportunity exists with money if we choose to see money as a growth path, which I'm learning to do.
Yeah. And every day we learn something new and our relationship with money deepens. And when you bring two people together and have those difficult conversations about money, especially when, you know, you have people coming together and one has debt and the other one's a saver, you know, and then like, who's responsible for this debt? But I want to get back to like your fear, Karina, of asking for that money. Tell us more about that. What did that feel like? And how did you get the courage to say, hey, dude, you owe me money here?
Yeah, it felt like heat. It felt like sort of fluttery fear coming up from my stomach. I got hot all over, like panicky hot through my body. I had some anger. I had some anger that he forgot. How could he not remember what the pieces were of the agreement? And part of doing relationship work or energy work is that you learn to turn towards yourself when you're having those feelings, instead of what I believe many families in our society and society itself teaches is that it's so much easier to just blame someone. So because I had already had these tools, I was able to sit with my feelings, take a deep breath, let them be felt. And then when they sort of calmed down a bit, I was 98.9% sure that he just couldn't quite see the pieces. Mm-hmm. He'd already shared with me, in fact, that math was something that was a struggle when he was a kid. And there was, so we'd already had some conversations and some context where I'd already built up some trust of his, a lot of trust actually of his good intentions.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And so that helped build that space to feel that and to feel the frustration, feel the anger, feel the fear, breathe through it. And then come back to our relationship and come back to, Matt and I talk a lot about the energy of curiosity,
mm-hmm.
a lot. So if I'm curious, I'm just wanting to know, did you forget about that, the money, this part, or did you, cause I'm not seeing it in the spreadsheet, is really different than, where is the blah, blah, blah?
You're trying to rip me off, you bastard.
Yeah. And I love that coming from that way of curiosity. Cause like, I'm thinking, like I'm picturing, you know, that throat chakra just closing up and it's like, okay, I, you know, don't know what the financial situation was at the time, but a lot of my clients feel like, I don't have enough money to cover this. Like that, our instant response is there's not enough money. And like, our language is so important around it. But like my whole body just tenses listening to your story and feeling that energy of what am I supposed to do? Like, how am I going to get this? You know, and like in marriage, I've been married for 34 years. And when my husband and I have conversations, sometimes, especially when we were younger in our marriage, we would get so angry and we would just pout, you know, and it's almost like a kid grown up having a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
And like, and you know, you start throwing things around. It's like, what is going on? And, you know, it's when, after I came home from a shopping trip and bought the kids like designer clothes and it would bother him. They're growing too fast. Stop spending money on designer clothes. It's like, what? Excuse me? No. Like, let's have a conversation about this. And when we actually started doing our agreement was to have dollar amounts set aside for like school clothes. So we did $250 for the school clothes season. Mm. And then, you know, come Christmas time, they'd have another chunk of money to spend. But it was because it was dollar based, we never had to worry about it. And I would tell my kids, hey, you got $250 to spend. I don't care if you buy $180 per pair of jeans, but this is all you're going to get. And, you know, now my kids, you know, they're all adults now, but they're all thrifters, right? They love getting bargains and sales. So to have that conversation and, you know, that energy and come at it, what a beautiful way, you know, because then I'm sure you didn't feel attacked, right, Matt, when she had brought that softly to your attention that way, using that feminine flow. What was your response?
How did I bring it up? I remember the conversation, but I don't remember how I brought it up.
Yeah, I felt challenged for sure, because my recollection was this one way and Karina was like, no. So I was like, fuck, like what, there's this gap here. So I felt confused. I felt a bit annoyed that us being called onto the mat. I listened because I knew it was important to her, to you, Karina. And it was like, okay. And then she was able to remind me of the conversation that we'd, you know, the agreements that we'd had. And I was like, I forget things quite easily. So I was like, fuck, right, yeah, okay, yes, I do remember that now. I did say that, okay, done. And so once that landed, I was like, okay, yeah, done, like I'll transfer the amount or whatever it was, you know, whatever reconciliation had to take place. It just became very easy. So but there was some things that came up, like, why are you, like, my understanding was different, why are you calling me into question? that was kind of in the back of my mind. That was money that I thought, you know, was staying with me. So I, there was some work I had to do to meet Karina where she rightfully wanted to be met.
Yeah.
There's another layer, Lisa. There's even another
layer. There's so many layers. This is awesome.
Yeah, you might not remember this, but what this also was a practice for me, I don't know how I knew, but I just knew this was also a practice in changing my stories around receiving.
I do remember this now, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think I remember now that my when I asked to have the conversation, I let you know, I was like, I am feeling super valuable and vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about this. And I would like ahead of the conversation, I'd like to make sure that there's room in the conversation for whatever feels come up. And we actually ended up having the conversation outside. It was in the park.
Yeah.
Outside. It was winter time. It was November. Anyway, somehow we had it outside. Must have been an unseasonably warm day.
Yeah.
And like he said, once he realized, we sort of reconciled, he's like, so shall I send you an e-transfer? And I was like, nope. This is what I really like. I wanted to receive cash. I wanted to feel him give me the money, the physical money of our agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And he then took it one step further and made this gorgeous collage of pictures that he printed onto a page that he made into an envelope to give me this money. And I have it in my drawer to this day. I actually just spent the last $50 of it last week, and I'm so grateful to still have that. I like having a little money set aside.
That's awesome. What a great story to share. And I love that you took the time and made this envelope. Like, how sweet. Like, aw. What made you do that?
It was honoring the agreement that we had. Mm-hmm. And it was, part of it was, like, I wasn't expecting you to ask for it in cash. But it was a way of being playful with it, that seemed to be like amplifying kind of the spirit of what we were trying to create and what we were moving into, what Karina's request to receive it in cash was coming from. So it was a way of just kind of continuing that, because I can be, you know, incredibly kind of feel tight around money, especially when there's less than I expect. And so moving into a new paradigm of money, just really wanting to kind of explore my relationship with money and our relationship with money. This was sort of the first kind of situation where we were having to talk about money and negotiate around money. So I really wanted to kind of just sort of help change the energy, shift the energy.
Yeah. What a great way to do it. I mean, that's like so sweet. Like my heart's thumping really fast. Wow. You know, and I mean, envelopes are so perfect because, you know, when I was a kid, my grandma taught me the envelope system, the money envelope system. So like, you know, I was taught like, you know, we give 10%, we save 10%, and then 80% can go into an envelope and you can have as many envelopes as you want. And what would you like to do with the remainder of that, you know, with that 80%? And now, you know, electronically we create money buckets. So, you know, like we have multiple bank accounts, and I love keeping, you know, fund money in a separate account with its own debit card, because I know exactly just by looking at my app on my phone, like I have this much money to spend and I have to spend it by the end of the month. So, and it makes it so much fun. So like, you know, when you set it aside and you know exactly what you get to do with it, it gets to be a challenge, like an adventure, like, okay, what can we do? And just having experiences. So do you have fun money, and what's the best way that you've ever spent it?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't. So we just before talking with you, Lisa, we were talking about the bucket system, and I haven't implemented that yet, but it's been on my mind for a long time. And I want to step into it. Money. Oh, so last year I kind of had some fun money, and we were in England visiting my dad and family in England, and Karina and my son Zach traveled out there together. Oh, we didn't, did we? No, you joined us a few days after. Anyway, I wanted to spend some time in London. So my dad lives out in the Cotswolds, a few hours away from London. And I wanted us to, the three of us, to be able to spend some time in London. And I just decided kind of how much, I decided my envelope. So instead of second guessing every single meal expenditure or, you know, whatever, you know, transportation, hotel, I was like, I'm good with this amount, like just to myself, like I'm good with this amount, we're gonna have a good time. And it felt really just kind of, it meant I could relax. London's expensive, especially when you come from Canada, because the exchange rate's rubbish. So you know, so just kind of deciding that envelope meant I could just be easy with everything that was happening, so I wasn't occurring as stressed at every pay juncture in the time. And it was wonderful. Like, it was just a wonderful, relaxing, easy time for all three of us, I think.
Yeah.
There was actually one more relationship thing with that one. Do you remember?
Remind me.
Oh my gosh, this is so funny. This is what's coming up in this conversation. So part of having a good time, part of your envelope was that you decided you would give me some spending money.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And that was really, you like literally handed me a little whack of cash. Here you go. And I thought, I thought about it, and I at first received it. I was a little bit like, still shook. I'm still working on my receiving. I was like, oh my gosh, can I receive that? Do I want to? And what I realized was, what would feel even more delicious than having the money in my pocket was to have you pay for whatever I asked for. And knowing my personality, I am not going to Harrods or Hermes, or like, I just loved the idea of being like, I like that.
Yeah.
Chocolate, or a little, I bought this adorable little painting from a thrift store, or some clothes from, yeah, we went thrifting one day. And I felt like a queen for him to treat me. It felt really, really lovely as a daughter of a mom who was the breadwinner, who had been my own financial resource through my whole life, even in my marriage. Long story, but we never combined finances properly. To be treated like a queen was absolutely exquisite.
Yeah, I love that. And we always, money loves to have the red carpet rolled out for it. You know, when imagining money as a person, you know, and how we treat it and talk to it is so important. You know, so many times we have this language pattern of there's not enough, I can't afford this, it costs too much money. And that actually pushes money away. Because if you say that to your mate's going to be like, excuse me, I'm sorry. Like, I am worth it.
Right.
You know, yeah. Or they're going to, you know, be really quiet and then feel like, you know, almost like your self-worth gets sucked out of you because someone's telling you that, no, you can't have something. So in your, if we're working with clients or even in your own relationship, probably more towards the beginning, was there ever a conversation where you caught yourself telling each other no, or you had to deal with that with one of your clients? Because I've heard a lot about the parent-child relationship with money in, you know, with couples. So when you were talking about he gave you money, like all I thought about was, oh, you got an allowance. Like, what was that all about? So that was my initial thought. So can you just expand a little bit on that and what was going on there?
Do you have anything, or shall I rip? Shall I riff on the allowance thing? Because I love the idea of an allowance. I think it's brilliant.
Right. For me, yeah, from my end, it was I like the idea of giving you money, and then the fact that you're like, what I prefer is just for you to pay for everything. I was like, okay, that's cool. I remember having a little kind of like, oh my God, because my ex could spend a lot of money really quickly. So I had that, you know, like a bit of a kind of like, oh shit. But then I was like, okay, this is Karina. This is different. Like, we're different. And it felt really good to just be able to do that, be that. Yeah.
I'm getting a little choked up. I think I spent like maybe £40. Like, I think I spent not even half of what you'd given me, maybe. Maybe it was more, but yeah. What was the question? I'm all choked up over here.
Just to me, it sounded as, you know, like there's a lot of couples who have that parent-child relationship when it comes to money. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, handing money from his envelope to you, saying, you know, like, here. So to me, my first thought was, oh, you got an allowance. So I went right back to that parent-child relationship. So how did you receive it?
Yes. I received it like an equal, I received it like a woman, and then I wanted to receive it like a queen. So absolutely, child-parent stuff can come up, and to know how to move through that, through and maybe even out of that into a new paradigm where you can be playing as wonderful, beautiful, brilliant adults, I don't know, maybe kings and queens, or, you know, whatever language appeals to you as a couple. But taking care of that little person that felt restricted, or felt maybe like the money came with strings, or felt like the money would be withheld if they did something wrong. It was like a judgment on their quality of character or beingness, personhood, something like that. Those are wounds to work through. Those mm-hmm. are wounds to work through. So I get that knee-jerk stuff coming up, and to be able to welcome it and continue moving through it, I think can only expand your relationship with money and each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's great for us to understand that, because a lot of our subconscious dictates a lot of the thoughts that we have and just things that we've learned. I like to call it the generational curse. You know, we learn all these things that get passed on from generation to generation. And, you know, and I know, like, you know, back in the 30s, you know, the man was the breadwinner and came home, and mom stayed home with the kids, and, you know, dad gave mom money, and she had to go buy food and clothes for the children. And, you know, and maybe there'd be enough left over, you know, unless maybe we're wealthy or what have you. And then that was taught, you know, to the next generation and so forth. So the idea of like recognizing what our thoughts are when someone says that, and not actually going into attack mode, but saying, okay, and like, you know, you allude to like, well, this is our relationship, and I had this ex, and this is what we did. And a lot of times we transfer over what we did with a different relationship, and that becomes, you know, it, that trust factor takes so much more time to build, because you have all these thoughts in your head from this prior, and like, oh, are you going to do it too? Like, are you going to restrict me? I have a client whose ex-husband made her, she hates the word budget, because her ex-husband made her account for every single thing that she had purchased, including like a pack of gum. So when we started working together, I'm like, well, I don't like the word budget either. We have a wealth activation roadmap, and we're going to manage money. We're going to make money work for us. So let's, you know, buy all the gum that you want to and let's enjoy the gum. And, you know, just that visual for her totally shifted that idea of, oh, I get to track my expenses. So when you think about, you mentioned Excel sheets, you know, keeping this spreadsheet, is that how you do your money still today?
How do I explain this? I have a spreadsheet. I don't pay close attention to it. There was a time when I did, and that was in my previous relationship, because I felt like I needed to have a pretty good handle on what was coming in and what was going out. That spreadsheet still exists. So I know, like, I have all my line items. And but I haven't literally haven't looked at it for months because I know like I'm good. Like I'm good. Like I have enough coming in ish. So I think my mentality is if money were to get tight again, then I would spend more time with the spreadsheet.
Oh, interesting. So now as a wealth activator, I'm like, you're ignoring money. Money wants to be loved and paid. Now, would you only pay attention to your lovely partner here, like when things got low or like, you know, she was kind of like standoffish or like, you know, ignoring you a bit. And then all of a sudden you'd be like, oh, let me get my spreadsheet out. I got to do the next thing, right? That's how money feels. Money's like, you're ignoring me. Please stop.
Well, I know how much money's in my accounts. So that I pay attention to, like kind of what's where. It's just the spreadsheet I haven't paid attention to. So I don't know if you're seeing a difference in that or not.
Yeah.
You want to talk about logistics and she wants to talk about energy. So
yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's a guy thing, right?
I had some stuff come up last week and I was really exploring the gratitude of the littlest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt, this is so perfect we're having this connection with you right now, Lisa, because I really felt money call me forward. I really felt it want to be appreciated and not taken for granted, not resented. I had a gratitude wave come up. Yeah, I seem to like cash. I have some clients that work with me with cash. Nice. And I felt this like welling up of gratitude. And I just heard this message be like, you could be this, you could have this level of like love and gratitude with all the money in your life. And I was like, oh, it was like this huge eureka moment. And it's hard to remember, actually. Mm. It's hard to remember. So what I'm hearing from you, Lisa, is when you have these dates, it sort of helps solidify in time these opportunities to connect with the energy of money.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely. And it's sinking in what you were saying to me a minute or two ago. And like, yeah, there's a kind of there's an area with money where I'm comfortable, like looking at it, thinking about it. And then there's this other place where I'm kind of ignoring it. Yeah. Yeah,
and we all do it.
See that now.
Yeah, we all do it. I mean, and sometimes, especially towards the end of the month, you know, I mean, we all have 0 months, right? And, you know, when you're having that 0 month and it's just like, money, I'm so ticked off at you. Like, I am not going to date with you this week. Like, forget it.
Yeah, I'm just going to ignore you.
When my clients do that, I'm like, no, we it's okay. Work through that. Like, acknowledge it. Talk to money. Like, write the dear money letter. Like, okay, be angry. And then get back up on the horse. Just like, you know, you don't want to give each other the silent treatment, right? We don't want to give our partner the silent treatment. So it's the same concept with money. Like, we don't want to do the silent treatment because then things start to happen. And I have a crush on debt membership, monthly membership, and the ladies are in there. It's all we focus on is paying down debt. And they'll go through these spurts where, oh, we're going to pay down 3 credit cards. And then they rack them back up again. I'm like, okay, let's talk about this. Like, what are we doing? And that's when they ignore their money and they get into this soothing where, you know, we have to swipe to feel better, or we tell ourselves there's not enough cash. So what I'll do is I'll pay some down on my credit card. And then, so they use their cash to pay down on their credit card, and then they need something or want something, like they'll go out to dinner or what have you. And then all of a sudden they don't have any cash. So now they're using their credit card. And I'm like, do you see the cycle? Like, you're pushing money away and then you're embracing money. It's almost like you're telling money, you can stay when I believe that you're good for me, but when you're no good, I don't want to talk to you. Like, you can be a friend of me. So just having that push and pull in your relationship and in the dynamics, all couples fight, right? And they say the biggest thing that we fight about is finances. And I know you guys are good. You're very loving and come together and have that conversation. But what has been the biggest challenge for you to overcome with that money talk? Matt, you go first.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, that situation, the Vegas situation was so kind of key and it was so early. And I feel like I don't think there have been any kind of big challenges since then around talking about money. And we're both actively reimagining our relationship with money. And we're, and our business is becoming more intertwined. So there are going to be more conversations about money. So we don't have a joint account personally or in business. But I mentioned it the other day, like, because we're about to launch this amazing program for couple entrepreneurs. So I think we're going to need a joint account for the money to come into. So there are these conversations that are naturally going to occur around the logistics of our business as we grow it. And I'm excited for them. I'm excited for those conversations. I'm excited for how my relationship with money is changing because I'm choosing to be more conscious about it. And Karina is as well. So these are conversations that we can have together. And I think we have kind of some overlap in the messages that we got around money and wealth growing up. So we're actually kind of thankfully somewhat aligned in how we think about, you know, how we've historically thought about money and treated money. And it feels like we're both on a very similar journey in shifting our relationship to money and wealth.
Yeah, I love that.
I'll just do a short one. We have a little giveaway, 10 tips to work with your spouse without killing them. And I can't remember which number it was, but we do talk of money is one of the tips. And the hardest thing is to talk about it in the moment. Mm-hmm. To talk about it frequently and letting it be uncomfortable. There was Matt spotted me for some things earlier this month, and then I manifested a bunch of money, and so I'm able to pay him back. And part of me wanted to hide. To tell me if this makes sense. I almost wanted to hide from talking about paying him back because part of me hated that he spotted me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I had to like lean in to be like, and I'm so excited I have this money, and like to. I started the conversation that I wanted to pay him mm-hmm. back, as opposed to waiting for him to have the discomfort of being like, and so are you paying me back? Like there's vulnerability and leaning in day to day, week to week, and to just lead into those conversations, not wait till you've got it figured out before you have them is the hardest and the thing that makes it the easiest.
Yeah, and I love that. And that's so important to be able to hash it out. Well, you guys have a lot of changes coming up, you know, combining your businesses, doing this beautiful launch. I know we'll probably get the 10 tips as a freebie. We'll put that in the show notes. So when you think about joining these two businesses, what do you see as far as the business financials going? What kind of conversations do you plan on having to marry this business together? And to be agreed upon, like for your owner's comp and things like that?
That's a really good question. I think we're
we'll let you know.
Yeah, we'll get back to you. We'll come back and tell you. Because we haven't really kind of planned that through yet at all. I think we've been focusing so much on creating the program, getting it ready, that we haven't really thought about the financial agreements or financial structure at all yet. I don't know. That's all I've got.
I just know we'll figure it out. And I just know that the part that we can call in for magic is that we'll call in the right people to support us. We're in Canada, so I think there's different rules for how businesses do all the business stuff. There's my level of business know-how. but we'll keep having these conversations. We'll be like, oh, we need this and we don't know how to do that. So we need to find someone who can help us navigate the system. And we've built up so much trust in our relationship that even if things feel hard, instead of being like, I'm mad you did this, I will say, this is feeling really hard right now. I need a minute to breathe. Can you hold my hand? Can you tell me everything's going to be okay? And then we'll just go do the things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and having that foundation in place is so important. So yeah, once you get all the launch stuff and the marketing in place, you can set up the financials and yeah, definitely get an expert to assist you with that because that is going to be the biggest breakup of all, relationships is they go into business together and all of a sudden they're like, one partner's not getting the full cut. They're doing a lot of the work and it happens in just any kind of relationship. It doesn't have to be like, a mate relationship. But anytime we partner with somebody else, money's involved, and we always get like, oh, they're getting paid more than me.
Yeah.
I have one of my clients, they're farmers, and the guy does all the farm work, and then she does a little bit, and he cuts a paycheck, and she doesn't get one. And it's like, why not? Well, I don't
Yeah.
do as much. Yeah, but you still should be compensated for what you do. Even if you're a W-2 employee or, if you take a cut of the owner's comp. So like having those conversations. So yeah, I'm excited for all of you just to showcase this. I know it's going to come up in your program. And I just think it's awesome that you two have married this together and are just going out there and helping so many couples, entrepreneurs especially, because I know there's a big push on dynamic couples. I just saw there's a huge, I don't know if it's a summit or a networking event, but somebody was looking for powerful couples that are doing business together. So if I come across a post, I'll share it with you too, because you
Please
definitely need to
do.
be part of this movement, because I know it's so important. And with more people going into entrepreneurship, they need support and they need experts like you to be able to walk them through that. So as we part, I love to have my guests share their best financial tip, personal or business, with the audience, something that has helped you level up. Matt, go first.
The one that's working for me right now is I have a line of credit with a balance on it, and I've just there's an automatic payment that goes against it every month. I don't draw on that line anymore, so there's an automatic payment that I don't need. Like, it's quite, it's significant, but I don't think about it. I just know that it goes out, and I have peace of mind that that line of debt is going down and down and down, like in good sized chunks each month.
That's awesome. So putting payments on automatic towards debt.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. Karina.
Mine would be to be honest with yourself of where you're hiding from money and think about what you would need in order to come back into connection with that money and lean into whatever it is that you need. Do you need someone to hold your hand? Do you need to collect paperwork first? It's better to take one step at a time than no steps at all. That would be my advice.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, one step at a time. And, honoring the fact that if you make a mistake, it's okay. You learn from it and you get to do better. You get to make a different choice the next time. So thank you both for being here. So glad that you're here. Those of you listening, please check the show notes. If you're an entrepreneur looking for a relationship coach, even as an individual, even if you're not an entrepreneur, connect with Matt and Karina. They are amazing and they are going to be able to help you get to that next level in your relationship with your partner. And remember, it doesn't matter how much money you make, it's what you do with it. Hey, thanks for tuning into the show. Give us a 5-star review and share it with your friends. Get ready to activate wealth. Be the next millionaire with a simple adjustment of your finances using an energetically aligned money multiplier system. You get to build wealth by partnering with money. It's time to have fun with finances. Pick a date, the link is in the show notes, to book your wealth activation call where you will get the one solution to multiply your money. Remember, it doesn't matter how much money you make, it's what you do with it.